perfect world. There ain't no perfect world anyway. Ain't no living in a perfect world. But we'll keep on dreaming of living in a perfect world.
After a long investigation, after so many people have been so badly hurt, after not looking at the other side, where a lot of bad things happened, a lot of horrible things happened, a lot of very bad things happened for our country. It was just announced there was no collusion with Russia, the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. There was no collusion with Russia. There was no obstruction and none whatsoever. And it was a complete and total exoneration. It's a shame that our country had to go through this. To be honest, it's a shame that your president has had to go through this before I even got elected. It began. And it began illegally. And hopefully somebody's going to look at the other side. This was an illegal takedown that failed. And hopefully somebody's going to be looking at the other side. So it's complete exoneration, no collusion, no obstruction. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Welcome in to the Daily Perspective. Hi there, Mark Congleton here, hoping you are having a good Monday. I'm having a good Monday. It looks like President Trump is having a good Monday. And thanks to the release of the report on the Mueller investigation, it looks like there has actually been exoneration. It's an interesting thing that's been going on. We've talked about it off and on for a while. We've talked about how the entire investigation was set up on an illegal foundation. There was no cause, no real cause for this investigation. And as President Trump has said time and time and time again, almost three years, this has been nothing but a witch hunt, an attempt to demean the president of the United States because the Democrats lost an election. And because they know that people are disconnected enough from reality, from the news, from what's really going on in the world around them, that they just accept what they're told on the evening news and on the cable news networks. So if they paint an extremely negative image of someone, most people will believe it. And when it comes time to vote, those people will be uncomfortable with voting with that person they've heard so much dirt about. And that's what they've been doing. And of course, since the report was released and since Mueller decided that there would be no more indictments, the Democrats have shifted gears and have gone bat bleep crazy. See how I censored myself there? We'll get into more of that a little bit later on. But first, hey, hi there. How you doing? Mark Congleton here. I've been out of pocket for a while. I have dropped in a couple of times to let you know what's happening in life. And in case you missed those, we'll spend the first few minutes here kind of talking about what the last 3 months of my life has been like. And I promise I won't bore you with a lot of nastiness about surgery and the like. I'll just say that if you're not aware, if you possibly dropped in for the very first time, back in January, the beginning of January, I had a complete knee, a total knee replacement. My left knee was totally replaced. And as a result, my schedule was just basically tossed into a blender and then dumped overboard because I was at the mercy of the rehab facility, the outpatient rehab facility, and I had no way to predict how my schedule was going to work. So there was no way to get into the studio and do this on a regular daily basis at the same time every day. Because some days my rehab would be at 7 a.m. Some days my rehab would be at 2 in the afternoon. Some days it would be at 11 a.m. Some days 3 in the afternoon. So I couldn't I couldn't just say, hey, book me every day at 2 p.m. That would have given me the flexibility to get into the studio, get everything done, get it all packaged up and uploaded. So the podcast is on iTunes and Google, the Google Podcast Store, and so that we could do the Facebook Live at a predictable time every day and that we could get together like this. But I couldn't do that because I was at the mercy of the schedule. And the schedule, and it may sound strange to you because aren't you a customer? Aren't you? Can't you say, hey, can I have these times? No, because the customer base, the customer list is actually slowly but constantly changing. There were different people in there every time I was there. Even if I managed to get, say, 11 o'clock 3 days of the week, and I was going three times a week, then I would see new people every time I went. As certain people rolled out and then new people rolled in, and I was in there for, 8 weeks or so, I guess. But it just blew my schedule out of the water. There was no way that I could do this predictably. So I thought, you know, what I need to do, as the surgeon who did the surgery told me, he said, your full-time job right now is recovering from the surgery. And so I took that to heart, and I made that my priority. And as a result, on the follow-up visits to the doctor, they were very impressed with my recovery rate. The folks at rehab were very impressed with the recovery rate because I was one of a few patients who actually did what they told them to do. So I will say this to you. If you have any kind of surgery like this, a joint replacement, or really any kind of major surgery, do what they tell you to do. If you don't do what they tell you to do, then you're never going to recover properly. You're going to hurt for the rest of your life. You're going to suffer from reduced ability for the rest of your life. If you do what they tell you to do, odds are in your favor. And that includes some work. For me, it's an exercise routine that takes me roughly an hour three times every day. And up until the day I was dismissed, I was doing that three times a day. It's not as frequently now, but I do have to stay busy. I have to stay active. I have to continue to move around. I can't just become Mr. Donut Lump and sit in the chair and gain weight. I got to keep moving. So every day I'm doing some of those exercises, and I'm adding my rowing machine and walking around and getting out and doing things and working in the yard and the like. I'm getting back to my real life again, as well as the thing here, which is what you have to do. Otherwise, you're going to have limited mobility, and the rest of your life you're going to regret it. So please, if you're doing this, please do what they tell you to do. And don't have a pity party and sit in a corner and feel sorry for yourself because you've lost some mobility. You can regain the mobility if you just do the work. And so that's where I am right now, every day, doing the work and focusing on the next phase, because my right knee is going to have, that was my left knee. My right knee is going to have to be replaced before the end of this year. So now I'm also adding exercises for the right leg to strengthen it up, to get it prepped so that my recovery will be even faster for the right leg. And that's it. And I apologize. Talking about surgery over breakfast is not exactly the best thing to do. And I know that. I jokingly referred to it as an organ recital. That's when two old ladies sit down and compare their surgery scars. I did that in one of the little updates that I did. But the thing is that I just wanted to let you know what's been happening. Because what's been happening has been a real life-changing event for me, and I'm going to have to talk about it. So here we are. I'm talking about it. If you're going in and you're going to have this done, be prepared. It is major surgery. The knee is the most complex joint in the human body, and when you have knee surgery, it is major surgery. Somebody, one of the rehab specialists, physical therapists at the hospital told me, you have to think about like you've been through a big car accident and they're putting you back together again. It's going to take time. It's going to hurt. But on the other side of the pain, everything's going to be better. actually much better than it has been for years. And he was absolutely right because, let's see, not this past September, but the September before that, the September 2017, my wife Jane and I went to Walt Disney World on a vacation. We planned our time there to be the first week in September because if you're planning a Disney trip, that is one of the lowest crowd times of the year. That in the beginning of January, the lowest crowd times of the year. People going back to school, actually both times. You've got people going back to school after their Christmas New Year break, and then people going back to school in September after their summer break. And at those times, the Disney parks are not empty, but they're not as crowded as they usually are. So we planned on that time. And during that trip, I spent the first day on my feet. At the end of the day, I regretted it. The next day, I kind of made up my mind the night before, that Monday night, that I was going to go rent a scooter because my knee was killing me. But the next morning, I got up feeling some better. I took some Advil, took some of my prescription pain meds, hit the road, and the end of that day, I decided that I had to have a mobility scooter. And I spent the rest of the week, I spent 3 days puttering around the parks on a scooter. One of those little things you see people running around on who have, you know, disabilities. And that was the only way I could do it because my leg hurts so bad. I just couldn't function. I just couldn't. And that's what made my mind up. It's time. I got to get it done. And I had some downtime. As you know, that Dave and I had been on a couple of stations in the Anniston-Oxford area. And we'd been on one for a couple of years, which was sold out from under us. And they changed format and said, see you guys. And the next one, we never really had a chance at because they didn't believe in the station we were on themselves. So they didn't believe in us. And so after that, I had some time on my hands. And I decided, you know what, this is the best time. I'm going to get this done. And so I decided to get it done. And I will tell you this, that the biggest regret that I have, the only regret that I have about this surgery was how long I waited to have it done. Yeah. And that is something I've heard other people say as well. And I agree with them. The biggest regret is waiting so long to have it done. Because now that knee is almost completely pain-free. I have a little bit that is slowly going away as the muscles in my leg get stronger because they have gotten weak over the last few years from just not being used. And you know this is to be true. When you hurt, you don't do what hurts you. You eventually stop. And as a result, you get weak. And so my legs have gotten weak because I haven't been using them like I should. Well, that's going away as my legs get stronger. But my right knee hurts. So that's probably going to be next. So I anticipate probably July or August, I'll be out of pocket again. And I'll apologize in advance for that. I'm letting you know right now that somewhere during the summer, sometime during the mid to late summer, I'm going to be going back in to have the other knee done because it's time. It's time to stop hurting. It's time to start moving forward. And I would encourage you that if you're experiencing this situation, if you have arthritis and your knees or your joints are killing you, listen to your doctor and do what they suggest doing. There are a handful of steps that you go through. There are different shots that they'll give you to try to alleviate the pain. There are braces that they'll put you in to help you correct the way your joint flexes and to reduce your pain that way. There are a handful of things that they do, and I exhausted all of those, and you should too. You should go through the process, go through the ABC process that eliminates all of the possibilities, and when it comes down to surgery, don't even blink an eye. Just say, when can we do this? And let your insurance do the work for you and pay as much of it as you can, and just go ahead and cough up the rest and get it done, because it will change your life. It really, really will change your life. I promise you, it will. It has changed mine. And I'm looking forward to getting back out and moving around. I got to tell you, it used to be my buddy Mikey, Mike Eccles. Hi, Mike. I know Mike listens. And he and I would go to go do our thrift store scavenging that we do on Saturday mornings. And I would dread walking around the stores. But not anymore. because I'm not hurting, not nearly as much. In fact, it's my other knee is nagging me. So get it done. Get the relief. All right, that's pretty much out of the way. So much to talk about today. So much to talk about. A new representative is making waves. We'll talk about that. Millennials, boy, they got it rough. And up next, we're going to talk about flat earthers. Yes, flat earthers are in the news. And that's what's coming up next as the Daily Perspective continues. You are listening to The Daily Perspective, and I'm your sometimes humble host, Mark Congleton. Good to have you along. Thank you so much for listening. It means a lot to me. I appreciate the fact that you're there, whether you are listening to the Facebook Live or you're listening to the Facebook Live. That's almost like saying the iTunes. Whether you're on Facebook Live with me this morning, and hi to those you are, I thank you very much for being there. I really appreciate you joining in on this one, the first one back. Hey, spread the word, we're back. Or whether you're listening to the podcast at some other time, like I know other people do, like our friend Joel in Hawaii and Josh and other people. So thank you very much. Thank you. Haven't done this for a while. I'm a little bit rusty. But it's a good day in the neighborhood. I'm glad you're back. It's good to be back in the saddle again here in the studio looking over these craziness, the craziness that is the stories that we have in the news today. We've been through a bizarre situation where one political party, actually a political party, members of which spread fear and rumor that Donald Trump would not accept the outcome of the election if he lost. Those people, the same people, refused to accept the outcome of the election when they lost. And as a result, we've been subjected to over 2 years, nearly 3 years, of a witch hunt trying to undermine the credibility trying to undermine the presidency of the United States. It's just a bizarre, ridiculous, loony thing that's happened to us. And it's all because the Democrat Party is so power hungry that they will literally stop at nothing to get what they want. And I don't have time to talk about it today, but well, actually I'm going to touch on it a little bit later on today, but they will even go to the point where they audition people to run for office. Groups, political groups, will audition individuals to see if they fit the profile that they think is necessary in order to run for office. We'll talk about that later on. But first up, let's take a look at ye olde South Pole. You and I, people who have grown up, even in public education, are familiar with what our planet looks like. We've seen globes all of our lives. We've seen not only photographs, but live video from space. We've seen video from the surface of our moon. By the way, it is a moon. That's the technical designation for what that piece of rock is. Does no one have the imagination to name it anything other than the moon? Anyway, we know the Earth is round. We know that explorers for hundreds of years have sailed around the globe. We know this is all fact. However, there are those who refuse to believe what you and I know to be true. They're called flat earthers. They actually believe the earth is flat. Well, there's a group of them, a very committed group of flat earthers. They're planning to visit Antarctica. They believe it's the very end of the world. In other words, if you sail far enough, if you go far enough in any direction, you'll end up in Antarctica. Eventually. According to Forbes, a group of the conspiracy theorists is organizing a cruise to Antarctica. Flat Earth International Conference founder Robbie Davidson is reportedly spearheading the trip, according to Forbes contributor Jim Dobson. The group will also congregate and discuss their theories while on the trip. What is this, a cruise? Are they going to have a stand-up comic? Hey, how about that end of the world, huh? Davidson believes that the edge of the Earth is somewhere in Antarctica, and he believes he's got, or will have, proof. He says, when we look at Antarctica, if you take a globe and you squish it down, the Antarctic would go all the way around the Earth. It's kind of like an ice shore. It's very, very large. It's not like you just go there and you can just peek over it. We don't believe anything can fall off the edge because a big portion of the flat Earth community believes that we're in a dome, like a snow globe. So, he continues, the sun, moon, and stars are all inside. It's very high, but all contained inside. So there's no way to actually fall off the Earth. This group, the Flat Earth International Conference, insists that the Earth is a disc or a dome. Another flat earther, a filmmaker named Jay DeCasby, said if the group is able to make a cruise to Antarctica, they will be able to prove that the Earth is actually flat. He says all we have to do is shut this debate down once and for all is get the distance of the coast of Antarctica. It had been done by early sailors before the UN was established and set up its Antarctic Treaty, which essentially made it illegal for independent and private exploration of Antarctica, who managed to make 60,000 plus miles, which irrefutably proves the Earth, the flat Earth model, but like all other mountains. Anyway, you know what? This just goes to prove that you can believe whatever you want to believe. You really can. If you want to believe that the Earth is flat, you can believe that. If you want to believe that the Earth is a ping pong ball in a game between intergalactic aliens, you can do that. If you want to believe that the sky is not actually blue, we just call it blue because somebody in some office somewhere in a government agency decided that's what we have to call it, well, then you can do that. If you want to believe that you can choose your gender, well, you can do that. If you want to believe that you were born a certain way and that your sexual desires are a result of the way you were born, you can do that. The common thread among all those different choices and beliefs is that at some point in your life, you will be confronted with reality, probably more than once. You will be given opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to change your views. You will be presented with opportunities to do what you want to do, to believe what you want to believe. You will be given chances to recognize and acknowledge reality. If you continue to reject this reality, as flat earthers do, then you will continue to be living in self-deception. You see, as I said at the top of this story, we know because of science, we know. I should have said
Science!
We know because of science that the Earth is not flat. There are untold hours of video film evidence. Probably millions of photographs from space. In order to believe the Earth is flat, you have to deny decades upon decades of proof that it is not. In order to believe that gender is fluid or a choice, you have to deny decades upon decades upon decades of medical proof otherwise. But you can believe whatever you want to believe. The problem with that is that eventually you will be confronted with a harsh reality. And it's not going to be good for you. So we have a group of people who are traveling to Antarctica, knowing that they cannot travel far enough into Antarctica to truly prove their point. But that's okay. Just getting there and having a look around from where they can get to is enough. It makes you just shake your head and wonder what's going on in our world. You know what this is. This is what happens when you let everybody get a trophy. That's okay. You can believe what you want to. Here's your trophy. Yikes. More when the Daily Perspective continues. Listening to The Daily Perspective. I'm Mark Congleton. Thanks for joining me this morning. And thanks for the Facebook Live feedback. Yeah, I'm an idiot. I know that. Thank you very much. If you, like some, if you didn't realize this was happening until you got the notification on Facebook, and then you didn't get that notification until well after I'd actually started, that's completely on me, because it's been a while since I've done this, and there's this little button in the lower corner of the Facebook Creator Studio screen that you have to click in order to actually go live. And it's just, I don't know, maybe they should label it as something other than go live. Maybe, hey, stupid, click here. But anyway, I didn't get that clicked until I was way into that first segment. Anyway, welcome aboard. Good to have you here. I promise I'll try not to be stupid again in the future. Good luck with that. Oh, my gosh. this is the... In case you did just join in, if you had a friend say, hey, go listen to this, this is the first day back for quite some time. I've been out of pocket since the beginning of January, first week of January, and I had knee replacement surgery, and it wasn't that I was incapacitated and couldn't do this. It was that I just couldn't put together a predictable schedule and do this every day at the same time so that we could get together on Facebook Live as well as record the podcast. Because if you're just listening to the podcast, I try to do this every morning at 8 a.m. Central. It's 9 o'clock Eastern, 9 Eastern, 8 Central. I try to do this live every day. And for those of you in the UK, what time is it in the afternoon? Sandra listens in the UK. It's like 2 in the afternoon. Is that right? Something like that. It's 6 hours or so later. With the time change, you know, here in the U.S., we have this crazy thing called the daylight savings time. And every year politicians say, this is the last time we're going to abolish this, and then they don't do anything. But we shift our clocks forward an hour in the springtime and back an hour in the fall. It goes back to days when we had kids, you know, well, people working in the fields and stuff like that. And at any rate, I try to do this every day at the same time, and as a result of scheduling physical therapy appointments after the surgery, it was just impossible to get a predictable schedule going, and I decided to focus on getting better, which was what the doctor told me to do anyway. So that's why. At any rate, we're back, and for as long as I can, I'll be back. I got, if you missed the top, and so many of you did, and I'm sorry about that. If you missed the top of the show, I'm going to have my other knee done. I had the left knee done. I'm going to have the other knee done sometime late in the summer, July or August. Maybe later than that, but before the end of the year, I'm going to get it done because it's in bad shape too. And now that my left knee doesn't hurt nearly as bad anymore, I notice how badly my right knee is hurting. So I'm going to get that taken care of. So I'll be out of pocket again sometime mid to late summer. And, something I forgot to mention earlier is I'm actually in talks with some people about doing some work for them, which may, I hope not, but may bump me from doing this now and then. It kind of depends on how things develop. I've been asked to do some consulting, and then I get this feeling that it's going to develop further than that. And if it develops further than that, then it means I'm actually going to be in another studio working on something else. And when I'm not in that studio, I'll be also working on that project in other facets, doing web work and marketing and things like that. And if I can continue to, I will do everything I can. I'll just tell you this. I'll do everything I can to continue carving this time out to do this. If it means doing it at 7 a.m., 6 central, or 6 a.m., 5 central, if it means moving it around so I can do it on a regular basis, then I'll do that. But I'm going to try to continue doing that. But if it consumes all of my time, then I may have to pull the plug. But I don't know that right now. We're just in the beginning stages of talking about things. And yeah, it could be a good thing for me and the wifey. And Princess Shaggy Feet, Her Highness Kimber the Wonder Dog. You never know. All right, moving along. I don't know if you know this. This is not a new story. It came back up again. The folks at Conservative Tribune republished this. And I thought it was interesting because people don't realize what actually happens when you're president. And this story was originally published on October 14th of 2018. And then they did a little edit on it on the 19th of December that year when something said, somebody said, oh, that's not correct. So they came and did a correction. Being the president of the United States is not an easy job. It's a thankless one. No matter what you do, there's going to be some section of the population that's unhappy with you. There are the endless hours of work. Anything and everything you do will be under intense scrutiny. There's also the important fact that as the most powerful man in America, and arguably in the world, there will be people looking for ways to kill you. Well, President Donald Trump last year, this would be in 2017, reportedly was the target of a credible threat, but was safe after Secret Service foiled an assassination attempt led by the Islamic State group. That's according to a report by National Geographic, which was titled United States Secret Service on the Front Line. Despite the gravity of such a situation, the establishment media willfully ignored this incredible story and opted instead to focus on other ways to paint Trump as a racist or somehow undeserving of America's support. Now, we talked about this early on in today's show, and that is that the media has made it a full-time job. Most of the media, the progressive press, has made it a full-time job to demonize President Trump with every waking moment on their platforms. And they were hoping the Mueller report would do him in. And now they have cashed the crazy chip, and they're going even deeper. The politicians and the pundits are all refusing to accept the outcome. It's bizarre. Well, it's an active disservice to Americans to bury a story like an assassination attempt. Considering the amount of time and effort that goes into protecting the president, the fact that the story could easily become a Hollywood movie only makes it worse that the mainstream media was so quiet about the report. As the Daily Beast noted in an October 12th of 2018 report, the events took place in November of 2017, when barely a year into his presidency, Trump was slated to go to the ASEAN 50 summit to meet with various South Asian leaders. It was for this trip that Secret Service heard credible information about an Islamic State group-led attempt on Trump's life. There is credible information that an incident could occur during ASEAN. That's what Special Agent Audrey Gibson, the reported eyes and ears of Trump's security detail preparing for the trip to Manila, said on the National Geographic special. She added, as of this week, the Philippines has escalated to a critical threat level. As Trump prepared to board Air Force One for his trip to the Philippines, the Secret Service detail was made aware of a tweet. That tweet read, "Gonna be in Manila, the same time as Trump. I'll take one for the team, lads." The tweet was accompanied by a mugshot of a notorious presidential assassin, Lee Harvey Oswald. After tracking the IP address of the threat, the Secret Service discovered the tweet did, in fact, originate from a residence which was just a short distance away from the hotel where Trump would be staying. With a threat and nearby proximity established, the Secret Service continued to monitor this man. Gibson told the Daily Beast, "With social media, there's software that can scroll through all of the threats at a much faster rate than any human can do it, so in some regards it makes it easier. But the bread and butter of what we do is the human element and the people that work the mission, and that's never going to change." Well, on top of the Lee Harvey Oswald wannabe, the Secret Service learned of another threat to the president on the same Manila trip. This time, the threat was an actual Islamic State group agent who was reportedly staying just a mile away from Trump's hotel. Obviously, all crises were averted. The Secret Service notified the Philippine National Police of what it found out. They then descended upon a park where the Islamic State group operative and an associate were meeting. Mission accomplished. Special Agent Chad Reagan, who was in charge of the Secret Service security detail for that particular trip, said, "With technology, that was one of the things that was a blessing for us, because we were able to know that he was moving close to us, where he was, and track him. And that was a huge piece of stopping the threat." Well, this is a genuinely harrowing story. It would make for a great movie that would stress the dangers of the presidency and the hard work that goes into protecting him. But the establishment media, the progressive press, they chose to ignore it. And they dare to paint Trump and his Secret Service in negative ways instead of in positive ways. So our president was under threat. Did you, I have to ask, and you can respond, you can make comments if you're listening on Facebook Live, or you can respond on our social media. Did you know? Did you know that there had actually been an assassination attempt? Now, I tend to be pretty plugged in. I read a lot of stories. This one surprised me. Maybe I'm an idiot. Maybe I just missed it. But hello. It surprised me. So, It just amazes me. Here we have a real assassination attempt. We have a couple of different people who are plotting, credibly, to kill our president. And yet, the progressive press, the mainstream news media, didn't jump on it and lead with it. Now, had this been a Democrat, it's all they would have talked about for probably nearly a week. But because it was Trump, and if they reported this fact, it would have emboldened his supporters they didn't report it. And this is why I tell you so often, you gotta stop listening to the progressive press. They're lying to you, they're misleading you, and they're not informing you about things that really are happening. This is The Daily Perspective. I'm Mark Congleton. I know that because that's what it says on my driver's license. Yeah, they let me drive. Going to be a bumpy day in our neighborhood, potentially. If you're in the state of Alabama, you might want to buckle up because this afternoon could get kind of crazy. There's a possibility for some large hail. If you live in the central Alabama, like Birmingham, Tuscaloosa, Anniston, Gadsden, Clanton, Demopolis, Greenville, Opelika, it's a small risk. But still, it's those small risks that bite you if you're not prepared. So be prepared. Be ready. I just remembered there was one time I was standing inside of a church lobby, this is many years ago, watching as hail, golf ball-sized hail, pummeled the parking lot. Just standing there helpless, watching the wind blow, raining sideways. You know, that whole scenario where you know a tornado is going to drop at some point. It's just a matter of time. And as I looked out across the parking lot, my eyes locked on to this little red SUV as hail pummeled down on it, bouncing off of the roof and the hood. It was mine. Yeah. Lots of little dents. Big day. Lots of fun. Ugh. All right. That's just, you know, I just happened to catch that James Spann, meteorologist James Spann. He's one of those people, by the way, and I've talked about this a couple of times, how every now and then I scratch my head and wonder, how did I get to know these people? He's one of them. He's on that list. People all over America know James Spann because he does weather, and he's on stations all over the place. He's on radio stations all over the place, and he's headquartered in Birmingham, Alabama, very near where I live. And it's kind of funny that our paths have crossed many times. And he's always very kind. He's always very generous, and he's always funny. And I count him as one of my friends. And it's good to know people like that. But that's what James is telling us for today. Those of us who live here, those of you who don't live here, like Sandra in the UK, we're going to get pounded today here back home. You don't have that to worry about, but we do. You know, sometimes life is rough. It could be rougher, though. You could be a millennial. Millennials are saying life today is more stressful than ever before. It's so hard being a millennial. I mean, you know, living in your mom's basement, using their Wi-Fi, all that stuff. There was a recent survey. A group named OnePoll did the survey. It was commissioned by Andoka. Ask a couple of thousand Americans between the ages of 22 and 37 about their overall stress level, as well as the top causes for their frustration. Now, you would think climate change, racial inequality, things like that. You know, economic issues. You would think these things would be high on the list. No, not even there. There's 16 items on the list. Let's start with number 16. These are things that are causing stress, making life stressful, more stressful than ever for millennials. Number 16, the check engine light coming on. You and I, if you're over 40, odds are you were raised at a time when you looked at that and thought, need to get that checked. Really not a lot of stress. You knew people. You knew you could go to, I don't know, AutoZone or O'Reilly's or whatever and say, hey, can you come plug that thing into my car and tell me what this code means? Yeah. Number 15, credit card bills. That's world-shattering, your credit card bill, I'm telling you. And I will say this, that if you're living your life financed by credit cards, yeah, you probably should be stressed out. Number 14. This is huge. I don't know why this is not number one. Number 14, breaking your phone screen. This, you have to remember, this is a group of people who would look at a payphone and be dumbfounded. Number 13, job interviews. Yeah. I got to admit, though, job interviews are stressful for everybody. You don't have to be a millennial for job interviews to be stressful. Paying the bills. Yeah, that's, I got to give them that. But when you think about everything that's going on, the reason life is more stressful now than ever before, job interviews and paying the bills have always been on the stress list. Always. Number 11. Boy, this one's a tough one. I don't know how you can get over this. Losing or misplacing your keys. What do you think? Do you think that losing or misplacing your keys is a big stress inducer because it shouldn't happen to somebody as young and capable as they are? This shouldn't happen to me. I'm not old. Wow. Number 10 on the list of items that are the most stressful scenarios for millennials, forgetting your phone charger. It's up higher on the list than your phone screen breaking. It really is. Number 9 is credit card fraud. That one's valid, I think. That's a real stress inducer. If you've ever had that clenchy feeling, oh my gosh, somebody's got my information. It's happened to so many of us. You know that's a stress inducer. Keep in mind now, these are the 16 most stressful scenarios reported by survey respondents for millennials. The 16 most stressful millennial scenarios. Number 8, forgetting your passwords. It's not famine, but it'll do. Number 7. Your phone battery dying. Ow. See, that goes along with forgetting your phone charger. They go hand in hand. I just don't understand why there are two things separating them. They go, number 6, if you're a millennial, your number 6 item in the most stressful things happening in your life is slow Wi-Fi. Slow Wi-Fi. Yeah, slow Wi-Fi. It's one of the 16 most stressful things that can happen to a millennial. The 16 most stressful things in a millennial's life. Number 6, slow Wi-Fi. Number 5, arriving late to work. Number 4, losing your phone. That is the number 4. The number 4 in the list of most stressful things millennials face today. Losing your phone. Number 3 is commute or traffic delays. Yeah, it's stressful, but come on. That's number 3? Number 2, arguing with your partner. Having an argument with your partner. Your significant other. Number 2 of the 16 most stressful scenarios reportedly faced by millennials. Number 1, losing your wallet or credit card. One of these all share in common. They all focus on me. Me, 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 me. It's not what's affecting everyone, it's just what affects me. The whole world revolves around me. And that's the life of a millennial.
Ain't no living in a perfect.
We'll see you tomorrow morning.
Ain't no perfect world anyway.
Bye-bye.
Ain't no